Also, how many of you enjoyed the preaching of the word this morning? It's awesome to hear our brothers from China via United States to be able to take. It's just amazing that a short few years ago, he was a member of the Communist Party. And look at where God has brought him. Oh, God has a plan for everyone on this planet. Even if you're an officer in the Chinese army, God's got a plan for your life. Isn't that incredible? I just find that is so incredible. And I'd also would like to thank Brother Thomas, Brother O'Neill, and the international ministry team that we have here at Calvary Gospel Church. I want to thank you so much for all the effort and the energy that went into this past weekend. Let's give them all a big hand. Appreciate it so much. On behalf of Pastor Grant, my father, he called this afternoon and said he was just, his back is just giving him, he's going in tomorrow for some injections and hopefully deal with some of the pain. And just keep praying for him that his lawnmower would stay broken in a good way. Because as soon as he gets those injections, he feels like he's okay. Just because he can't feel the pain doesn't mean he's still not hurting. It's hard to get that through to him sometimes. My mother tries most difficult at times that, John, she says, just because you had the injection doesn't mean you're still not hurting. You just don't feel it yet. But anyway, I'm excited for what God is doing and where God is moving us as individuals and us as a church. And the tongues interpretation tonight couldn't be any more clear as to where our nation is headed and to where our church is headed and to where this world is headed. We do live in difficult times, in most difficult times. I want to preach to you tonight. I asked them to put the title up. I'm going to go ahead and just give you a title right now. The title of my message tonight is When You're Down to Nothing, God is Up to Something. When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Have you ever had your life has ever been going just real good? It just seems like you're stacking up the miles behind you and you're cruising down that freeway and you got the convertible top down and you're listening to your favorite music. Everything is going great in life. You couldn't ask for anything better. The kids are doing well. The family's doing well. The job is doing well. The wife's doing well. Everything seems to be going great. And then all of a sudden, it's like, boom, the rug gets yanked out from underneath you. If you ever feel like you've just been blessed, and then out of nowhere, seemingly, all hell seems to break loose in your life. You feel like you have been cursed. Maybe the curses of the Bible, some of the things that the Bible talks about as far as cursings and such, that all of the woes and all of that has just somehow landed squarely on your doorstep. And you take and you look and have you ever had the sense that the enemy of our souls has launched an attack on your body? It seems like you've been doing well for some time and health is being going great, and all of a sudden one thing leads to another, and what once was just what you seemed like was a healthy body is now broken. And struggle sometimes just to get up in the morning. Sometimes you feel like the enemy has launched an attack on your body, has launched an attack on your family, and whoever is around you has launched an attack onto the church. Have you ever tried everything that you seemingly possibly could and nothing would take? It seems like it's like you've got this ball in your hand and it's full of sticky molasses, and you throw it and everything you seem to throw it at, it doesn't stick on anything. Have you ever tried all of this and seemingly everything within your ability and nothing seems to work? Have you ever found yourself unable to come up with the answers to the problems that are nagging you? And sometimes we go and we go into this long and we go into this mode of why me, God? Why me, God? Why, oh, why, God, is all of this happening to me? Things seem to be going great. And then all of a sudden, boom, God, what am I doing wrong? Every time you get ready to ask God, sometimes we bring ourselves and we are afraid and we say, you know, down on the inside, we just want to look at God and we want to say, God, where in the world are you? Are you even listening to me? Do you even care? We look at the world today and we look at all the things that are going on in the world and we simply could ask ourselves, God, where in the world are you? But I want to encourage you tonight, when you're down to nothing, when this world is down to nothing, God is up to something. Because my Bible says that in the last days, there shall be all kinds of miracles and signs and wonders. In the last days, there's going to be a great influx. And the power of God is going to fall on this earth, unlike this earth has ever seen. How many of you believe that tonight? We say, God, are you listening? God, do you even care? Where are you, God? Where are you? God, you can see this mess that I'm in. You can see these problems that I'm in. Well, I've got news for you tonight, my friend. Whatever has devastated you, whatever your pain is, whatever your frustration is, whatever is alienating you, whether it's bitterness, whether it's suffering, as life has handed you at its worst, just remember, when you are down to nothing, my God is up to something. We read in the Bible in the book of Genesis, chapters 37 through 42, and we're not going to turn there. It's a long passage of scripture. It's a story of a young man named Joseph, and Joseph was down to nothing. He was betrayed by his family. Have you ever been betrayed by your family? He was sold into slavery. He was lied upon. While he was in slavery, he was wrongfully accused of rape, and he was thrown into jail. He was at the bottom of the barrel. He was down to absolutely nothing, but God had not forgotten. God had not forsaken him. And though Joseph may have been down to nothing, God was still up to something in the life of Joseph. Have you ever had a dream? Have any of you ever had a dream? How many of you have had dreams? And you've seen yourself in a better place than where you're at. Have you ever had a dream like that? How many of you have had that dream to come true? How many of you are still struggling for that dream to come true? You see, Joseph had a dream. He had all of these plans. He had all of these visions. He was going to go great places. He was going to do great things. He had a dream of a career. Maybe it was, you have a dream of a new home, or perhaps a dream of finding that perfect man if you're a single lady, or maybe finding that perfect woman if you're a single man, and you have this dream and you want to take and you want to live out that dream. I want to share with you this morning, when Brother Kong was preaching, it brought to me a reminder. I was contemplating and studying, working on this message, and Saturday morning, my wife had to go in and work on Saturday, and I left the house earlier in the morning, and I was going to go in. I was going to have breakfast. And I like to have this routine. I like to go in and have breakfast, and I like to take my notes with me, and I like to mull over things and just kind of make sure that everything that needs to be in a message is in a message. Nothing more, nothing less. And I'm driving down the road and I'm coming down Oak Park, heading into Marshall. We live in right between Marshall and Deerfield. And I remember years ago that God had given me a dream. And I remember, now, this was before I had ever met Brother Kahn. I did not meet Brother Kahn until Saturday night at the international banquet. But I driving down the road, and I began to think, and I said, God, think of all the dreams in my life, all the different things that I've had dreams and ambitions. But God, I remember a dream that you gave me a number of years ago, back, I believe it was in somewhere around 2002. And I dreamed that God showed me this dream a vision of what he had wanted to do in this church. And I had dreamed that we were having services 24 hours a day, nonstop. It had been going on for weeks. I don't know when it started. I couldn't tell you when it ended. It didn't end in the dream. It continued to go on. But I don't know the time period. I couldn't put and say it was at this year or this particular date. I just know that it was in a season. I remember walking outside, and it was in a summer setting. And all around behind the church here, that's all empty ground, was all construction. And they were building a building, and there were buses pulling up into the parking lot and wanting to know where they should put people. And we had members, ministers in the congregation going out across the city, and they were taking, they were looking for other places that we could bus people to have church. Because there were so many people wanting to get into the house of God. I don't know what drove them there. I have no idea what happened in the earth or in the world. I could only imagine that it was something that drove people to the point to where they felt like the only thing that I have or the only thing I can trust in is God. I remember asking God as I'm driving down Oak Park, God, can this still happen? Is this just a dream that I need to just put it aside? Because from where I'm at right now, Lord, I don't know. I don't understand all of this. I don't see this happening in the immediate future. And it's been over 10 years now, Lord. I went ahead and I put that on the side, and I went ahead with my day. And Saturday evening, I came in, and toward the end of the banquet, I went up and I introduced myself to Brother Kong, and he started to talk with me. He started to thank this church for its vision of international. It's reaching out to the international community. People of all nations, all just colors. And he says, God's told me to share with you. I want to share with you something. And he began to talk, and he says, I see a day. I've never talked to this man before this moment. He says, I see a day when people will come into this church nonstop, round the clock. You will have church sun up to sundown. It will not stop. It will keep going and keep going. God is going to do a great work in this church. Now, just earlier that day, I was ready to take that dream and put it on a shelf and say, Lord, for a later time. And you got a Chinese man, evangelist, courtesy of the Chinese Communist Army, come to Madison, Wisconsin, to tell me, don't give up on that dream. You see, you may be down to nothing in your life. You may be frustrated in your position in life. But when you're down to nothing, trust me, God is up to something. He doesn't just sit by idle, empty-handed. When you look at Joseph, he's in an Egyptian prison, a long, long way from his dreams that he had back in Canaan. But when he was in prison, he was down to nothing. But God continued to work in his life. He had been given a gift, and that was a gift of dreaming and interpreting those dreams. And while he was in prison, he interpreted a couple dreams, and the interpretations of those dreams made it all the way up to the ear of Pharaoh. And God had given Pharaoh a dream, and he did not know what the interpretation was. So someone in Pharaoh's house that knew Joseph in prison says, there's a man in prison. He's an Israelite. He's from Canaan. And he spoke in my life and gave me the interpretation to my dream. And I'm here exactly as he said. Maybe you want to hear him out, Pharaoh. And before you know it, Joseph goes from a prison cell to a position second in command under Pharaoh. When Joseph was down to nothing, God was up to something. Joseph didn't sit by in prison idle, and God didn't sit by waiting on the sidelines. When you're down to nothing in your life, God is up to something. When we look at Joseph and we look back in Israel, back in Canaan land, we see Joseph's family, Joseph's father, Jacob. He was on the other end of that dream. God had said to Pharaoh, or God had given Pharaoh a dream of 7 years of plenty and 7 years of severe drought. And because Joseph interpreted this dream, they were given 7 years of plenty, and then 7 years of drought came in. And that 7 years of drought not only affected Egypt, but it affected the whole region. And here, Joseph's family is back in Canaan, starving to death. When God was still up to something in the lives of Joseph and his family. It's odd to me that the same famine that struck Egypt, struck Canaan, and that Joseph being sold into slavery all those years before was all part of God's plan. Joseph was down to nothing, a slave in a foreign country, but God was up to something in his life. If he would have never been sold into slavery, Brother Ben, I wonder how the story would have went. You ever think of that? If you never went through your prison or your trials and the tribulations that you're going through, have you ever wondered how your story would be written if you didn't have that in it? You see, we look in the book of Job, a whole book devoted to a man who was down to nothing, and God was up to something in his life. Job lost absolutely everything. He lost his livestock, his wealth, his children. He lost everything but his wife and her ability to nag with him. He was down to nothing, sitting on a dung heap, oozing sores all over his body. But God was up to something in the life of Job. In Job 1:21, Job says, "Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So many times we go through things in our lives and we don't understand, and we want to blame it on God and we want to take it out on God. But Job understood that I came into this world with nothing, and I'm going to leave with nothing. And even though I came in here with nothing and I accumulated vast wealth and vast riches and a great family, and now I have nothing, I'm going to leave this world with nothing, and I'm going to continue to praise the name of the Lord. You see, we have a classic tale here. God had faith in Job, and Job had faith in God. And the faith that God had in Job and the faith that Job had in God, as a result, God restored to Job double fold what he had lost. You see, both Satan, or Job and God, both defeated Satan. That's what I love about this. Job defeated Satan. God defeated Satan. It tells me that when I'm down to nothing, I can still defeat my enemy. I can be sitting on a pile of waste, scraping my sores with a broken pot, and I can still defeat the enemy. How's that, Satan with a small s? That's all I need. When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. We read about David, and we read this story about David and how he killed the giant Goliath, and he was given the king's daughter, and he was given money and all kinds of fame, and he was given a place at the king's table. But David's life took a radical turn because Saul was insanely jealous with David, and later we find David down to nothing, living in caves. He was a giant slayer. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And here David is, sitting in a cave, living off the land, being chased by Saul. He had to flee the country, and he had to go live with the enemies, the Philistines. He was a fugitive living among his enemies. And when David was down to nothing in his life, God was up to something. A story goes on and says that while David and his men were away fighting from the enemy, they were doing ambushes and all kinds of different things. You'd have to go in and read the whole entire story, but to get the picture of it, they're out fighting the enemy, and the enemy came into the town that they lived in, and they took all of their wives, they took their children, they took all of their livestock. They basically cleaned them out. And David comes back and his men return, and they see what's happened, and here you find this giant slayer, David, crying out before the Lord as his men speak of stoning him. David, his men desiring to stone him, but what did David do? David got away with just himself and the Lord and began to encourage himself in the Lord. And later on we read as he writes and pens the scriptures, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." David, you were down to nothing. But when you were down to nothing, God was up to something. Saul was killed in battle, and David goes in a few short years from a fugitive from the king to the king of all of Israel. When David was down to nothing, God was up to something. You may say tonight, "Pastor Roy, those are some pretty big stories. That doesn't really fit into my life very well. You see, I'm just a normal person." God loves just normal people. You know that? God loves to do absolutely amazing things through just normal people. We read in 1 Kings 17, 10 through 16, the story of a simple widow woman. Husband passed away, struggling to make it from day to day in the middle of a great famine. No Woodman's to go to, no Costco to go to, no place like that to go to, no land to try to attempt to grow food. She's down to her last little bit of meal, her last little bit of corn, and her last little bit of oil, enough to make one last little cake so that she can take and make it, and then when she makes it, she can eat it, and she can prepare herself to die, because that's it. There's nothing more that she has. And along comes the prophet, Elijah, and he says, "You know, I'm a little bit hungry, ma'am. Would you make me a cake?" She says, "But I only have enough for one more." "That's it. I don't have any more. You can see my meal barrel is almost empty. There's only this much oil left in my cruse of oil." But she makes the man of God a cake. The prophet eats it. It satisfied him, sustained him. He goes on his way, and the widow goes back to that wheat barrel. She looks in. To her amazement, there's just enough there for one more meal. She scrapes it out. She goes to that oil. There's just enough oil for one more cake. See, it wasn't, God didn't show up with a semi-truck load full of oil. Show up with a huge semi-truck load full of wheat. God says, "You gave all you had, but I'm going to keep that little bit just going to sustain you." You see, when she was down to nothing, a simple widow woman, God was up to something. God was up to something. We see Ezekiel in the book of Ezekiel. He's in prison, or not in prison, he's in bondage to the Babylonians, I believe. And in a fiery cloud, God gives Ezekiel a vision. He sees a fiery cloud of four living, winged, angelic creatures whose appearance was like burning coals, and their riding wheels were within the wheels. And we've heard the story of Ezekiel, and the glory of God transcended all the way down to the earth. And the above expanse over their heads was a throne of sapphire, and a throne was a figure of a man who was glowing with glory. And God was telling this young prophet, he says, that my power, my spirit, does not confine to just the four masked walls of brick and mortar in Jerusalem, in the temple someplace. My spirit, my power, my glory, my authority does not just end with the confines of the borders of Israel. I'm not confined to the rituals that are found within the temple. I am so much more, Ezekiel. I am so much bigger of a God. I am so much holier of a God than what you could ever imagine. I am so much more awesome of a God than you and Israel could ever comprehend. God was on the throne, and his throne is all over this earth. It's all over this universe, from the far east to the west. You cannot find an end to the entity of God. He's not confined to any one box or room. God is a sovereign God. He is omnipotent. He is omnipotent or omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He hasn't abandoned his people in some foreign land. He is God. And he is sovereign. You may be down to nothing tonight. You may look at your life tonight, but God is up to something. Peter, when we look at Peter in the New Testament, he was down to nothing. He denied Jesus Christ 3 times. By all practical purposes, we could look at Peter and say Peter was a miserable failure. He was at the bottom of his barrel. But God was up to something in the life of Peter. I'm sure that the words of Peter echoed in his ears as he lay there in frustration, knowing that he had just denied Jesus Christ. The words still ringing in his ears as he remembers Jesus telling him, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the very gates of hell, Peter, shall not prevail against my church." And here he's laying in a puddle of his own tears as he bites down on the dust from the ground. And he hears the words of Jesus, "Speak, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Peter, you're down to nothing." But God was up to something. You look at Peter. He met Jesus on the shores of Galilee, and there Jesus restored Peter's confidence in his mission. He restored his faith. He restored his position. And as a result, we're able to read as Peter moves on and he stood up with the other 11 in the second book of chapter of Acts. And he delivers this sermon, a sermon of repentance, a sermon of baptism in no other name but the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And he gets up and he preaches his first message. He has absolutely no notes, and he gets up there and he preaches with no notes, and he has no altar call, and 3,000 people receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Because when Peter was down to nothing in his life, God was up to something. We read Paul and Silas severely beaten and thrown into prison for casting out a demonic spirit from a girl and for preaching the name of Jesus and for baptizing. And here they were, down to nothing, there in a dark, damp, smelly prison, death all around them. And we find them, what were they doing? Were they griping and were they complaining because of the cost that it's taken them to take and carry on this ministry? Were they complaining about the conditions in the prison cell? Were they complaining about the smell? No, they were down in that prison cell and they were singing and praising and giving worship to God. They were lifting up their hands as the best they could in shackles, and they were waving those chains as the best they could, and they were giving glory and they were giving honor and exalting the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake and the prison doors flew open. The guard was about to fall on his own sword, and Paul shouts out, "Don't harm yourselves. Don't harm yourselves. We're all here." As a result, the jailer and all of his household was converted and baptized that day. You see, we have to understand one thing, that sometimes when we look at our lives and You see them there in prison and the conditions that they're in. We have to be careful because other people are watching us. How does Brother Carl react when his truck breaks down? How does Brother and Sister Brown react when things go wrong in their lives? How do we react? How does Brother Thomas react when things don't go well? We spend a lifetime trying to win people sometimes. And when we're down to nothing, and even though God is up to something in our lives, we get mad at God and we react wrong. We have to be careful. In closing here tonight, we're going to look at the life in closing at the Apostle John. History bears to tell us that John was down to nothing. As our musicians can go ahead and come, he was to be killed. All of the apostles had faced death in one gruesome way or another. Peter was, history tells us, was crucified upside down on a cross. Others were sawn in half while they were still alive, burned, beaten. Here we have John. He was down to nothing. He was to be thrown into a vat of boiling oil. I don't know if you know anything about oil, but oil, it's nasty when it gets on you. It'll burn you in a bad way. And here John is, about to be cast into a vat of boiling oil. But you see, God was up to something in the life of John. You see, just as God prevented the three Hebrew children from burning up in that fiery furnace, as John was thrown into a vat of boiling oil, I can only imagine as his body splashes into that oil, you can imagine the oil instantly burning his skin and his flesh coming off in massive sheets. And the tissue begins to turn crisp as he's literally fried to death. But God says, John, you may be down to nothing, but I got another plan for your life. I'm not done with your life yet, John. There's still more that has to be written. Just because the emperor at Rome says it's time for you to die, I have authority over the emperor and you're not going to die. They pull him out of that vat of oil and they cast him onto an isle of Patmos in exile and says we can't burn him up. We'll send him to a prisoner's isle and let him starve to death. As we stand to our feet, John, at the end of his rope, come to the end of his life, at the end of the line. But God was still up to something in his life. We begin to read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. It begins as such, I was with the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. The mighty voice went on to declare that I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I, John, am the first and the last. John continues to write in verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about with the paps with the golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like an angel, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. For I am the first and the last. Here John is, survives a vat of boiling oil. His situation looks hopeless, exiled. But when John was down to nothing, God was up to something in the life of John. If you're here tonight, you may be in jail. I know some of you are. I don't know all your situations. I don't know all your circumstance. You may look at your life and you may say, listen, Pastor, I'm down to nothing. I got nothing left. I lost my job. I lost my home. My family's disowned me. But when you're down to nothing, that's when God is up to something. I invite you to this altar tonight. If you're here tonight and you need a healing in your life, the woman with the issue of blood was down to nothing. God was up to something. You need a healing. God is up to something. If you need an encouragement in the Lord, if you're struggling in your life, and you're down to nothing.